Hello, ramblers and gamblers. Josh Rosenthal here. Thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling and the old email ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Great episode today. Aaron Schatz of Football Outsiders is back, and this is our official 2022 NFL gambling preview. Tons of futures in here. We also get into a little bit of fantasy towards the end. And one note, you may notice that Aaron's external mic goes out about halfway through. We just switched to his computer mic, and I think it still sounds fine. But wanted to give you the heads up. Without further ado, here he is, Aaron Schatz. Aaron, this is turning into a little bit of a tradition here, man. We had you on almost exactly 1 year ago. It was the second ever episode of the Rambling and Gambling podcast. We did a betting preview of the NFL season that was just about to kick off. And here we are now, one season later, to do it all over again. It's great to have you back.
Thanks for having me. It's always good to be on. Preseason is my time. So, you know, I love talking about the upcoming season and promoting the almanac, and I'm happy to do it every year.
Well, I love hearing your thoughts every year. A couple of notes off the top. Number one, just about everything that I plan to bring up during this is stuff that I'm pulling from the always excellent Football Outsiders Almanac. It is 500 plus pages of incredible NFL insight, college insight. There's some great fantasy stuff in there too. Aaron is holding up a copy of it. This is truly a must read for me as I prep for every season. So I highly recommend that listeners check that out. Number two, Aaron, can you please remind us how you compile the almanac every year, including the million simulations and all that?
Well, we have all of our stats that we do at Football Outsiders during the season. The main stat people know is DVOA, which stands for Defense Adjusted Value Over Average, which takes every play in the NFL and assigns it a success rating and then compares that to a league average baseline that's based on situation and opponent to figure out how efficient teams are on offense, defense, and special teams. So when we put the book together, we have a lot of stats, charting stats from our friends at Sports Info Solutions, you know, tackles and cornerback coverage, and then all the stats for all the skill players and all the fantasy projections for all the skill players. And the main thing we do is we have a projection system that projects DVOA for next year based on a number of different variables. And then we simulate the season a million times. I know that's a little nuts. We probably could get away with doing just 20,000, but we do a million. And that gives us our, probabilities for how good each team is going to be. Now, I will say this. One, our simulation has a tendency to be a little over conservative. Like, it's good to be conservative in general. People, in general, their beliefs about how good and bad teams are going to be are extreme. You can't predict a team to win 14 games because the fact is most times there's going to be random things that happen and some team will win 14 games, but it won't be the team you think will. But our simulation is a little over conservative. So teams are very heavily grouped around 500. And then this year, our simulation was actually even more conservative than usual. So things were really heavily grouped around 500, which I think suggests that there's more of a chance than people realize of surprises this year, both good and bad.
Interesting. Interesting. I like that. Okay, let's get into it. So the bulk of this podcast is going to be with a segment I'm calling 10 takeaways. These are 10 observations I'm pulling from the almanac. Aaron, I want you to elaborate on them. And listeners, every single one of these, as you're about to hear, is tied to a potential wager that we're going to get Aaron to weigh in on too. First takeaway, and I think this goes to what you were saying about a potential increase in parity this year. You've got just three teams that average 10 plus wins in your projections. They are the Bills, the Bucks, no surprises there. And the Eagles, how come?
Well, the Bills and the Bucks, I don't think I have to explain why those are the highest projected teams in the league. I mean, the Bills are everybody's Super Bowl favorite, and they're our Super Bowl favorite too. I mean, this is one of the places where I think our simulation is too conservative. The Bills' number is 11 and a half. We're only projecting an average of 10.2 wins. Honestly, that's too low. I'm much closer to that 11 and a half. Tampa Bay, of course, we think their defense is going to take a step back, but their offense is projected to be number one in the league, even after injuries. The Eagles, first of all, they've made a lot of really good personnel moves this offseason. Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, A.J. Brown, of course. Jalen Hurts was an average throwing quarterback last year by our numbers, plus all the rushing value. Now you give him A.J. Brown. Now you improve that defense. And they have the easiest projected schedule in the league. So that's another reason why we have them so high, is because their schedule is projected to be easy. They're in an easy division. They project to be very good. We really like the Eagles this year.
The odds from FanDuel on the Eagles to win 10-plus games, minus 130. Does that do anything for you?
The Eagles number has really gone up.
Yeah.
It was 8.5 at the beginning of the offseason.
I know.
At this point, I don't think I would make that bet. As high as I am on the Eagles, I don't think I would make a minus 130 bet on 10 or more.
Takeaway number two, your number one projected defense is the Saints. Why is that?
The Saints have been a top defense for the last couple of years. They've been a top three defense for the last 2 years, and they've done that without leading the league in takeaways. So usually what happens is defenses that are more dependent on takeaways, like the Cowboys last year or the Patriots in 2019, they tend to fall back to the pack a little bit more from year to year, while defenses that are mostly based on preventing yardage are more consistent from year to year. Now, the one issue with the Saints is Dennis Allen becoming head coach. When Dennis Allen became head coach of the Raiders, his defense really suffered because now he was spread too thin with the responsibilities of the head coach. So we're gonna bet that that's not going to happen a second time, that he's learned from his mistakes, that he won't be spread too thin, that the New Orleans defense is still going to be really good. We could be wrong about that, but there are lots of reasons to like the New Orleans defense.
Right now, you can get the Saints at over 8.5 wins for plus 105. You could also do over 7.5 for minus 170.
I would take the over 8.5 for plus 105. Jameis Winston was an above average quarterback last year in half a season. Let's say that that's not how good he really is, right? Let's say that he's really more like, so what he's been his entire career, except for that 1 year with all the interceptions, is he's been an average quarterback, average starting quarterback. If he's an average starting quarterback again, only he's got better weapons than he had last year, right? Because he's now got Michael Thomas back, Chris Olave, and Jarvis Landry. So let's say New Orleans, let's be conservative. Let's say they put a slightly below average offense on the field. If they have a top three defense to go with that, that's a winning team. That's a team that goes 9-8 or better.
I'm happy to hear that because I already bet that one. The Saints over 8.5. I like that, Aaron. Next up, you've got the Bucs as your highest rated offense. However, as you alluded to earlier, their offensive line is pretty banged up. Guard Aaron Stinney is out for the year. Center Ryan Jensen out indefinitely. Tackle Tristan Wirfs, I believe, is day-to-day at this point. How much does that impact your projection for Tampa's offense?
Wirfs, not at all, because a day-to-day in the preseason is, you can't predict anything based on that. Jensen is much bigger deal than Stinney because Jensen is an all-pro or close to it. He was my all-pro center vote last year. Stinney was just in a competition between a few different guys fix the left guard position to replace Alex Kappa. So, the Jensen, it's going to hurt their projection a little bit, but they were far enough ahead of the number two projected offense, which is Kansas City, that this will keep them the number one. They will stay the number one projected offense just by less of an amount.
The Bucs are plus 750 to win the Super Bowl in FanDuel. A couple other teams up there, Bills 6-1, KC 10-1, Rams 11-1, Packers 12-1, Chargers 14-1. Any of the above do anything for you?
I prefer the lower, or I guess they're higher odds, bets this year than the favorites. As far as expected value, I would want to put my money on teams like the Chargers and the Eagles at 14-1 or whatever the Eagles are, probably something like 18-1, 16-1. Not that I don't think the Bills are the favorites, but I just, those odds are not positive value, I don't think.
Takeaway number four. I'm really excited to hear your explanation for this one because this surprised me. You have the Giants pegged as the worst team in the league, and it's by a pretty comfortable margin, despite the G-men, according to you guys, and I agree with this, having one of the easiest schedules in the league. You ranked them as having the 28th most difficult. Why do you think the G-men are the worst team in the league?
Their defense is a mess. Their defense is our worst projected defense. We have their offense projected 28th. I mean, I'll admit we may be not adjusting enough for what happened after Daniel Jones got hurt last year, but a lot of that projection is based on Jones, just Jones, not what happened after he got hurt. And Daniel Jones, we're in year four now. He's been a three-year starter in the NFL, and he's never been above average. Like guys who've been, he's had a minus 10% DVOA passing in all 3 years as a starter. Guys who've done that in their first 3 years just don't turn it around. Like it would be very unprecedented for him to suddenly become like an above average quarterback at this point. So if their offense is bad and their defense is worse, they look pretty bad. And what we've been saying about the Giants is we don't like their roster and we don't think they do either. Because what we do believe in with the Giants is the new front office and the new coaching staff. But we don't think they like the players they have. We expect a lot of changes on the Giants roster between now and the start of 2023, especially between 2021 and 2023, because there's a lot of like rookies this year who will play important roles like Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. But it's going to take some time to build something there. So I don't want any Giants fans who are listening or watching this to think that this is a knock on their new coaching staff or front office. It's a knock on their old front office.
Did you see the Daniel Jones, Josh Allen stat that aired during one of the
Yeah, we're going to be seeing that forever. Look, Josh Allen is very unique. Very unique.
And just real quick,
struggling young quarterback to Josh Allen from now until the end of time. But here's one thing.
Josh Allen
took a leap in year three. Daniel Jones has already had year three. We did it already.
The stat for anybody who didn't see it is comparing the cumulative stats of Daniel Jones and Josh Allen, and they are very similar after 3 years. However, Aaron, continue as you were saying, Josh Allen had already made a big stride by the time.
Oh my God, Josh Allen was horrific in his first year. He was bad in his second year. He was fantastic in his third year. Daniel Jones has never been horrific, but he's been bad for three straight years.
Right now, you can get the Giants at 20-1 to be the worst team in the league. Here are all the teams that have shorter odds than the Giants to be the worst team in the league. Texans, Falcons, Seahawks, Jets, Jags, Panthers, Bears, Lions. You like Giants at 20-1?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Look, the Texans have a shocking number of mediocre players. And I know that sounds like I'm damning them with faint praise, and that's because I am. But here's the thing about mediocrity. Mediocrity does not go 4-13. Mediocrity goes 7-10.
Any chance Davis Mills turns in anything as long as we're talking about the Texans?
Sure, there's a chance. It's not a big chance. Davis Mills, the most likely thing for Davis Mills to turn into is like Kirk Cousins, where there's like a huge disconnect between his stats and what the scouting people say about him. But there's also a strong likelihood that the stats just drop closer to what the scouting people say about him. It's more likely that his stats drop to match the scouting than that the scouting rises to match the stats.
I like that kid, Nico Collins. They have young wide
receiver.
A lot
of people like Nico Collins, depending on whether Davis Mills can get him the ball downfield.
Yes, 100%. But I think Collins himself is going to be good. Takeaway five, give me your, quote, subjective case for the Jags.
All right. So our projections have the entire AFC South below 500 in our average projections. That doesn't mean they'll actually all end up that way, but the average of the range of possibilities. So the Jags are in it. But my subjective case is not based on numbers. It's based on the idea that Urban Meyer was the worst head coach in NFL history, or close to it, which a lot of people believe. And that Trevor Lawrence was a once-a-decade quarterback prospect, which a lot of people also believe. And the numbers sort of back up from his college numbers, anyway. If you believe Meyer was that bad, the difference between Meyer and a Super Bowl-winning head coach in Doug Peterson should be huge. And it should be huge for unlocking Lawrence. And Lawrence should improve dramatically from what he was last year. Then you add to that that they're in a division that we feel is weak. In particular, we're lower on the Colts than other people. And I would like, I think there's a reasonable chance of the Jaguars like winning the division at 9-8.
Interesting. Interesting. Oh, I want to throw the bet out there, but real quick, just because I'm curious, I'm certainly not arguing with you that Ole Herb was the worst coach in NFL history. How do you even judge that? Is there any competition for that?
That's why I said it's the subjective case, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I don't know who else would be considered among the worst, you know, Rod Rust or Dick McPherson, you know, Bobby Petrino. But it was just such a, such a show of la mierda in in Jacksonville last year.
This year, you can get them, the Jags, over 6.5 wins for +115. Over 7.5 wins, you can get +185.
Ooh, I don't know which of those is the better bet. I'm naturally conservative, so I probably would go with the 6.5 and the smaller payout to be able to pull that 7-10. But I think those are both reasonable bets.
Are you still a Trevor Lawrence believer?
I'm definitely a Trevor Lawrence believer. We did quarterback tiers on our live stream. If people want to watch Football Outsiders live streams, they're on right now, Tuesday and Thursday, 1 p.m. Eastern. Search for our YouTube channel, Football Outsiders. When the season comes, they're going to be on every day, 1 p.m. Eastern, plus some additional live streams. We're doing a ton of live streams this year. We did quarterback tiers, and we talked about Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence. And I said, and I say this as a Patriots fan, right? I am honest about my fandom. I'm a Patriots fan. I live in Worcester, Massachusetts. There is nobody who would take Mac Jones over Trevor Lawrence at this point, even though Mac Jones had a much better rookie season. The amount of potential that Trevor Lawrence showed coming out of Clemson is just so huge that at this point, you would have to guess that he's going to end up the better NFL player, even though he had a much inferior rookie season. And that's not true of any of the other rookies, right? Mac, right now, you would take Mac Jones ahead of Justin Fields. You would take Mac Jones ahead of Zach Wilson. You would take Mac Jones ahead of Davis Mills. You probably would take him ahead of Trey Lance, even though what we've seen from Trey Lance is nothing. You would not take Trevor Lawrence is still the number one.
Okay, let's talk about another team with a young quarterback, maybe heading in the opposite direction. It's takeaway number six. The team attracting the most handle for season win total nationwide is the Jets. In the almanac, you know that they've got a better and 1-4 shot at making the playoffs. Why a little bit more optimistic than usual on the Jets this year, Aaron?
That's, I think, the natural conservatism of our projections, and the fact that this year is particularly conservative with the teams closer grouped around 500. So the losing teams have better chances than you think, and the winning teams have worse chances than you think. But the fact is, going into every season, every team has at least a 15% chance of making the playoffs. It's just the NFL is just, there's a lot of randomness in it and a lot of unexpected things happen.
A couple of potential Jets bets: over 5.5 wins, -135. Under 5.5 wins, +115. Jets to have a winning record, just about 4-1. It's +390.
I would probably stay away from all of those. Even though our simulation is inherently conservative, I'm probably more in line with conventional wisdom about the Jets. If the Jets over 5.5 was a plus bet, I might go for it. But at -135, I'm not doing it.
Next takeaway, the AFC West getting a lot of love from fans this year. They are stacked with quarterbacks. The division is home to the Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. And it looks like you guys like the Chargers the most.
We do. We have the Chargers number one in the AFC West because of some decline we expect from the Chiefs defense a little bit. And they lost some players. And obviously the loss of Tyreek Hill on offense is a big deal. And all the players the Chargers added, Khalil Mack and JC Jackson and Kyle Van Noy. And so I definitely think the Chargers, we have the Chargers as slight favorites over the Chiefs. I mean, all four teams are projected with an average projection over 500. So that's a really good division. But we actually have the Chargers as slight favorites over the Chiefs, with the Broncos third.
You can get Chargers +240 to win the division.
I'll take it.
Just so people know, KC is +155 to win the division. They're the favorites. Then the Chargers, then Broncos +260, and Raiders +700. I wouldn't shock me if the Raiders pulled this out.
The Yeah, plus 700 might actually be good odds to put.
Yeah, just like a value bet. I'm going to bet the Chargers for sure. But as a value bet, I don't hate 7-1 for the Raiders.
The book goes into it in great detail if you get the book. The Broncos defense last year was a statistical mirage caused by the fact that their offense played at such a slow pace, plus the quality of special teams in Denver giving their defense great starting field position. And their defense was really actually a little below average. So they're not adding Russell Wilson to a top defense like Denver fans think they're doing. They're adding Russell Wilson, which is a positive, but it's not like they've got a top five defense.
How much of an improvement do you think their offense will have this year with Russell Wilson behind center?
Oh, significant. We have it projected as a top five offense.
Yeah. Okay. I figured. Takeaway eight. Why are the Minnesota Vikings, quote, weirdly dangerous? And by the way, ranked ahead of the Packers.
Yeah, our projection system loves the Vikings this year, and we shook our heads and scratched our heads at it, and it's possible that we're overrating the return of Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith from injury, but we like additions that they've made. They drafted rookies on defense, which tend to correlate better with with wins than drafting rookies on offense in that first year. Their offense is always good. It's pretty consistently top 10. So we expect it to be top 10 again. And we have the Packers declining in general because of the loss of Davante Adams is obviously a big deal, even though their offense still projects to be good. It doesn't project to be the best in the league. So yeah, we do shockingly have the Vikings slightly ahead of the Packers for the NFC North.
And the odds to win the NFC North, Green Bay is a favorite, minus 155. You can get the Vikings at plus 240, Lions plus 950, Bears 12-1.
I would throw a little bit of money on the Vikings in that situation. Yeah.
I think last year you and I talked about how we thought the Lions could actually have an okay season. I think that was,
and I feel that way again this year.
I do too. I have them. Tell me what you think of this one. I have them 4-1 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Oh, you like it. Okay. It's a little value play, right? Not crazy.
No, I think it's closer to 35. Yeah. 35%,
yeah. Okay.
Not like 25.
All right, very good. I like that one. I like the Vikings plus 240 there too. Takeaway nine, the Bengals may have won the AFC last year, but you say they were a very average team during last year's regular season.
In the regular season, they were 18th in DVOA, although that includes the last game where they sat all their starts. So they're slightly above average team if you don't include that last game. They're a slightly below average team if you do include that last game, which in our projections, we did not include that last game. Like we pretended that didn't happen. So we project them to be better this year. Certainly the additions to the offensive line will be huge. It'll be interesting to see just how much those sacks are Burrow's fault and just how much they're the offensive line fault, because it was clear in the playoffs, that was when I watched the most Bengals. It was clear some of the sacks were his fault. It was not just the offensive line. And so as good as they are, we feel like they're a little overrated because they went on that run in the playoffs. It's not like it was a dominating playoff run. It was close wins. I mean, they played well. They played better than they did in the regular season, especially on defense. But so overall, we think the Bengals will be better this year, but it will look worse because they actually have one of the toughest schedules in the league. I haven't redone the numbers. It was their schedule ranked sixth when Watson had a when we thought Watson was out for the whole season, Cincinnati's schedule ranked sixth. When we thought Watson was coming back in week seven, Cincinnati's schedule now ranked first because they played Watson twice. I haven't redone the numbers now that we know that they're playing Watson once, but their schedule is going to be like third or fourth in the league. So it's tough.
Here are the AFC North odds. Baltimore is the favorite, plus 145. Cincy, plus 170. Cleveland, plus 370. Pittsburgh, plus 950. Any of the above?
I would bet something else.
Yeah.
I think those odds are pretty low.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree. All right, last takeaway. Number 10, you say the team with the number one hardest schedule in the league is the Cardinals.
Yeah. Playing the AFC West. Playing the teams in their own division, although obviously Seattle is way off this year. They have a tough schedule. We really see their defense in decline. People don't realize it's their defense that's been holding them up the last couple of years, not their offense. Their offense has been very average over the course of the whole season because their offense has been very good in the first half and bad in the second half, and it works out to average overall. And their defense has been holding them up, and we see their defense declining for a number of reasons, both statistical and personnel related. So yeah, we're not big fans of Arizona this year.
Their over-under is 8.5 wins for the season, and it's -110 both ways.
Yeah, under.
You take the under.
Take the under.
Okay, very good.
I do it at -110, yeah.
Okay, nice. I like it. Let's do a little fantasy. Here are guys you think are being undervalued according to their ADPs. I'll read them out position by position. And Aaron, just give me your take on one guy per position. You pick who it is. I don't want to take up too much of your time here. We'll start with the quarterbacks. You've got Jalen Hurts and Jameis Winston, again, being undervalued according to their ADPs. Who you want?
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston is the easier one to talk about because, like I said earlier on the show, he was very good last year in limited time. He's got better receivers than he did last year. I don't think he'll be as good as he was last year, but because the receivers are better, I don't see a lot of decline, and they should be throwing the ball plenty in New Orleans. And so we have him as like probably in like a 12-team league, he'd be like a top backup. But he's like, if you want to play the like wait until late in the draft to pick your quarterback's game, he's a good quarterback to take.
Do you have any sense of how much, if at all, that offense is going to change without Sean Payton?
No, I don't think, I don't know. And I don't know how important it'll prove Payton will be. I will say the one comparable team that we found historically was the Redskins when Joe Gibbs retired for the first time and they collapsed.
Yeah.
So that was but that's only one. I mean, you know, one similarity doesn't tell you anything.
I'm going to throw a Commander's question your way later in the pod. You know, I can't let a whole pod go without getting a little Commander something in there. At running back, back to the fantasy stuff, you got Leonard Fournette, AJ Dillon, and Devin Singletary.
Leonard Fournette was the number three running back in PPR leagues between week four, when he took the full job, and week 15, which was his last healthy week of the season. For that period, he was the number three running back. So the fact that he's going like 11th or 12th in drafts just seems too low to me.
I think some of the offseason stuff is scaring people off on him. Reports of him coming in, you know, way overweight, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's probably fine.
Okay. All right. Wide receivers, you list both Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. Rashad Bateman, Hunter Renfrow, Robert Woods.
I mean, I love all these guys this year. Renfrow was like a top 10 guy in PPR last year. So even with the addition of Devontae Adams, why he's going like 30th doesn't make any sense to me. Mike Williams is a big touchdown opportunity guy. And in the last couple of years, he's had fewer touchdowns than you would expect given where he ran his routes. But that tends to regress to the mean, which would suggest more touchdowns this year. And you know, there's a lot of opportunity in the passing game for the Chargers. So I like Mike Williams a lot. He's on my Scott Fishbowl team.
You know who else intrigues me in that offense? Tell me what you think. Josh Palmer, the second-year receiver, number three receiver. You into Palmer too? Am I right on that one?
We do a list every year called our top 25 prospects list. It's our top.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Prospects who are not rookies, second, third-year players, who were later drafted or undrafted. So they're the guys that everybody forgets about after draft season. And Palmer is our number one guy this year.
I'm invested in Josh Palmer in my dynasty fantasy league, as if this podcast wasn't already nerdy enough.
He's an interesting guy because our statistical projection for him from college was terrible. But our statistical projections from college have this habit of being very wrong about players from Tennessee. I don't know why Tennessee can't seem to get a coaching staff that highlights their best players, but like they constantly underuse players who turn out to be successful in the NFL. It's very strange. Alvin Kamara is a great example.
Okay. I'm going to be watching Palmer for sure. Lastly, tight end, you list Robert Tonyan and Cole Kmet.
Yeah. Neither of these guys are top tight ends. These are like the guys you take if you are taking like the 11th or 12th tight end in your draft. But Tonyan got a lot of usage 2 years ago. I don't know why people feel like now in a world without Devontae Adams, he's going to be used less than he was 2 years ago. And Kmet is definitely a, like, the ball's got to go somewhere in Chicago. kind of breakout candidate, you know?
Yeah, fair enough. That is absolutely true. Okay, some semi-quick quick hitters before you go, and you know, take as long on these as you want, but you don't have to go super long. How big of an improvement is Baker Mayfield over Sam Darnold?
I mean, I think like a half a win, but I mean, remember our projections are pretty conservative, but it's definitely an improvement. Darnold, you know, I talked about Daniel Jones being bad for 3 years. Darnold's been really bad. Like at this point, like it's not happening. He's not a NFL starting quarterback, and Mayfield at least has had some good performance in the past.
Most books have Matt Rhule as the odds on favorite to be the first coach fired this year. Other top contenders include Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll. I've seen Frank Reich. I've seen Ron Rivera. Any guesses on that one, Aaron?
It's not going to be Pete Carroll.
I don't think it's going to be Rivera. I don't think it's going to be McCarthy.
No, Matt Rhule is the clear favorite, but really, like the ownership group in Seattle is wedded to Carroll until he decides to retire. He's not going anywhere. He's certainly not going anywhere in the middle of the season when he starts with Drew Locke and Geno Smith as his quarterbacks. There's no expectations, so why would you fire him in the middle of the season when there were no expectations to begin with? Like, at least with McCarthy, it's like, oh God, if Dallas goes something like 3-6, the expectations for them were high, so maybe they fire him. But Carroll's not going anywhere.
Dallas does have some strong coordinators over there too that they could fall back.
Yeah, there are clear guys to take over. Like it's clear that they would give the job to Kellen Moore if they were to fire McCarthy. But we all know what's happening in Dallas. Everybody knows what's happening in Dallas. Sean Payton will be available next year. Everyone knows that's who Jerry Jones wants. McCarthy has 1 year. I think unless McCarthy makes it to at least the NFC Championship game, he's gone. Sean Payton is the head coach.
That's the main reason I don't think McCarthy's getting fired. I think they wait till the end of the year, personally.
Yeah.
FanDuel has top five MVP contenders listed as, in order, Allen, Mahomes, Brady, Herbert, and Rodgers. Here's my question for you, though. Any long shots that you think have a chance?
I mean, Burrow?
Yeah.
Burrow a long shot? He's probably the sixth guy on that list.
I don't know if he's that high or not. Hold on. Keep talking and let me look.
Russell Wilson. Dak Prescott.
How about Trey Lance? You buying that at all?
I mean, that was really great like 6 months ago. That was like a super awesome far long shot pick 6 months ago, but I think the odds have gotten lower.
Hold on, I'm still Googling. I thought I had this up on my computer already. I'm sorry. Okay, according to RotoWire, Burrow's the next one listed, actually. Stafford's also up there. Russell Wilson, Dak Prescott, Lamar's 20-1, Kyler's 20-1.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lamar is an interesting choice. I mean, because of what I think about Arizona this year and DeAndre Hopkins' suspension, I don't like Kyler Murray as a MVP choice.
You don't think there's any chance that a non-quarterback wins this award, correct?
At this point, no. I think this is the quarterback award, and offensive player of the year is the non-quarterback award.
In the almanac, you call my hometown team, the Washington Commanders, the current NFL dynasty of dysfunction, which I thought was pretty good. Should I just throw in the towel now? Is there any hope for the Commanders this season?
Well, part of our being conservative is that we believe that every team has hope. So certainly their defense will be better. There's no way their defense is going to be as bad on third and fourth downs as it was last year. So that's already improved. I mean, our big thing is we're just not Carson Wentz believers. And our numbers actually have him kind of average last year. But we feel like a lot of that is Frank Reich's offensive scheme, and he doesn't have that anymore. And that's no diss on Scott Turner, but Reich does have a, you know, better track record of improving average quarterbacks. And so we think you're going to have a bad offense. There's going to be a bad offense this year, and the defense will get a little better, and the schedule is easy. It's not like ridiculous to imagine that they make a wild card. We really like Philadelphia, and Dallas was our number one team last year. So we have Washington a pretty clear third in that.
Are you buying Scott Turner as a coordinator?
I don't know yet. I mean, one thing I will say is he uses a lot of play action. And you know us analytics types. We love play action.
Yep.
So, I mean, big ups on using play action. They were number two in the league last year, I think, in percentage of passes that had play action fakes.
That sounds right. Are you concerned about the defense, especially after last season?
Well, that's the thing. It can't be as bad as last season.
Yeah. I mean,
statistically, we know that teams that are that bad against the pass on third and fourth down improve the next year, always. when it comes to personnel and scouting, that front four is really good. Like, it's how did that happen last year? Like, how was the pass rush so bad with those players? You just don't know how it's possible. It's the opposite of the Arizona Cardinals. You look at the Arizona Cardinals, especially the Arizona Cardinals at cornerback, and you're like, how on earth was this a top 10 defense? You look at the Washington Commanders, especially on the defensive line, and you're like, how on earth was this one of the worst defenses in the league? It doesn't make any sense. And then William Jackson played so well in Cincinnati, comes to Washington, plays much worse. Like, what? It's got to be better this year. And people say to me, like, I've been on Washington shows and they've said, you know, Jack Del Rio, is he the problem? Jack Del Rio, he was the coordinator 2 years ago when they were a top five defense. So if he can coordinate a top five defense, he can do it again. I don't know what happened last year.
I can empathize with the frustration that is just coming out of your pores on this answer about their defensive line.
I'm not even a Washington fan. Like, a Washington fan's going to look at Allen and De'Ron Payne and Chase Young, hopefully healthy, and go, these guys, this should be a great pass rush.
Last one I got for you. I've been asking everybody this question, and we've gotten some interesting results. What is your single most against-the-grain prediction for this coming season?
I mean, I think my single most against the grain prediction is that something unexpected is going to happen that the unexpected is more expected than you think it is. But as far as specific teams, I'd say New Orleans. I think okay. I'm higher. I just think a lot higher on New Orleans than the public.
What's the ceiling for New Orleans?
I mean, depending on injuries, division title, but probably not. I think like a strong wild card, like fifth seed.
Like Frisky in the first round.
Yeah, in reality, if Brady goes out for a couple games, the ceiling is the division title. I don't think they're a real Super Bowl contender. But the number at most books is 8. And I just think they're better than that.
Are you a Jameis believer?
I don't know. Define Jameis believer. I mean, say earlier? I said he's been average.
Do you think
I'm a believer that he's average.
Okay. You're a believer that he's average. Okay. All right. Very good. This has been great, man. As always, I love this pod with you. I hope to do it again next year too. This is fantastic. I really appreciate you coming on. Where can listeners find you? Plug away. Anything you got?
All right. So Football Outsiders, you want to get the book, Football Outsiders Almanac. For the printed book, you go to Amazon. It's $29.99. Or you can get an electronic copy. The way you get an electronic copy is you become an FO Plus subscriber. FO Plus is our premium service, footballoutsiders.com/subscribe. You get the electronic version of the book. You get the preseason Kubiak fantasy football draft tool. You get in-season fantasy projections, in-season fantasy tools, picks against the spread. We're going to have some premium content this year, like all kinds of good stuff. So you want to check out footballoutsiders.com/subscribe. The live streams at 1:00 Eastern every day during the season. Check out our YouTube channel, search for Football Outsiders. And of course, I'm on Twitter and Football Outsiders is on Twitter. If you find me on Twitter, you have to spell my difficult to spell last name. It's FO_ASCHATZ, or just do Football Outsiders at FB Outsiders.
I'm an FO Plus subscriber. And I was before you started coming on my podcast. And I think it's a really good deal. It's good stuff all season long. But then on top of it, you get the almanac for free. And I really do feel like going through that almanac prepares me as we get back into the new NFL season. Awesome work as always, Aaron.
Yeah, there's a couple of new FO Plus features coming in the next couple of days, including the ability to filter DVOA by week. So if you want to say, how good was Arizona if we only look at the weeks with Kyler Murray was healthy? You'll actually be able to filter that yourself and get the results.
I think it's all a really good reference for both gambling and for fantasy, which, as we know, are two of my favorite things to do. Thanks again, Aaron. Aaron Schatz, editor-in-chief of the amazing Football Outsiders, creator of DVOA, of course. Appreciate you, bud.
Hey, thanks for having me on, as always.
There it is, ladies and gents. Thanks to Aaron and producer Parrish. I love doing this episode. I am so ready for football. And thankfully, we only have one more episode to go before 2 weeks from now. It'll already be time to break down week one. Next week, in between, we've got Maryland great Walt Williams coming on. So excited about that. And we're going to do a little football next week, too. Until then, thanks for rating, subscribing, reviewing IG at Rambling and Gambling, and the old email, ramblingandgamblingpodcast@gmail.com. Everybody, have a great week.